then Daniel is going to talk again in detail about the star I was talking in detail about, but this time a different aspect, Afana.
Yeah. So the bad news about giving a talk just after John is maybe the quality contrast too high for the audience. So I'll try to do my best. So I'll talk about Achernar, that's already been discussed with Hivinus this morning. And this is part of my PhD work with Alex Karshoff in Brazil and Armando in France. So hopefully he's watching me now. No, he's not listening to me. Hey, someone, the microphone was off. Okay. Oh. So the boss is watching. So talking about Achernar's photosphere. So we have a just accepted paper on IIA from Armando. So we have high precision visibilities and closure phase measurements with Pionier. And this is a huge UV coverage that can be done in VLTI. And that was important to know if there was or not circumstellar activity at the moment of the observations. So we already had observations from Amber in 2009, that this dashed area. And here we have linear polarization level. So I think polarization is the most precise measurement we can do in astrophysics. So we are measuring here like 0.01 polarization percent. 0.01% of polarization. So this is our limit we can do it. So as we can do this for Amber and most important for Pionier, within the EHORS, there is no polarization signal in the epoch of the observations here and here. And we also have done these colored vertical lines are spectroscopic observations. So in 2000, we know that we believe that it's the diskless phase of Achernar. And if you do a difference flux here, and we see also in the spectroscopy, no signal of circumstellar activity. So, but we made a test. Since we don't have signal, it doesn't imply that there isn't no residual disk. If we see the work of Karshoff in 2008 in Vinci data, that blue oblated stars that you have seen, there was a circumstellar disk. Maybe it was a circumstellar disk. If there was a circumstellar disk, which would be the maximum acceptable density? So we look at many observables to see which we try to see in which observable we would see the disk first, based on the VDD model. So the response is the polarization. So we have two different models based on 2008 models. So if there is a disk, if we increase the density here, we would see it first in polarization. Here is the polarization level and the density of the disk. Okay. I also made predictions of the highest possible disk in the visibilities and the differential phases. So they will be in the EHOR bars, that are the gray areas. And maybe it could be observable in the H-alpha line profile. So the maximum disk density would be 5 × 10⁻¹⁰ grams centimeter cubic. And well, it's an important value, I think, if you want to see even in the diskless phase of B star, could be some few stellar activity that we cannot observe. So these are Pionier data, the black points and the residuals here, and our best model in the red. And here it should be how Achernar looks like in the temperature. So the bright pole on the south and the cool equator. And this is the results of the best fit. Hivinus have shown this in the morning. And even the rotation rate decreased, John. It's not 0.4, I think it's 0.87 or 86, right?
Yeah, in terms of Keplerian orbital velocity is 84%.
Yeah. And something I would like to call your attention is this prediction of the beta parameter from the von Zipel, the gravity darkening beta parameter. Spinoza-Lara made a prediction of it based on the stair code, I think. And Akerner fits it perfect. So in our parametric fitting of Pioneer data, beta is a free parameter. And if it's precisely the prescription of them. So it can be, this could be an explanation or a way to understand how the beta parameter varies with the rotation rate. And well, here are the correlation between the parameters, the fitted parameters. So we have the equator radius, the equatorial velocity, inclination angle, the beta parameter, and the on-sky position angle. And we see that they are almost independent, except for the inclination angle and the equatorial velocity. So a more precise constraint would be the V sin Y, not of them independently. We discussed it on paper. And something that we are confident of our modeling, this parametric fit, is that we took the Pioneer data and made an image reconstruction on it. And then we compared, we convolved with the interferometric mean and compared with our parametric model. And we see they agree very well. The differences are within 1% of flux. And this confirms that there is no circumstellar emission in the reconstructed image. So in short, we don't see any circumstellar activity between 2009 and 2011 in Akerner. We have a multi-observables in a single analysis. We are confident about these photospheric parameters. And this is a test for the Spinoza-Lara model because Akerner is the hottest and fastest star that we have angularly resolved the photosphere. So the recent disk evolution, this recent activity on the Akerner. So in Napoleão and Marcon, that are Brazilian amateur astronomers, they have been observing Akerner. And in January 2013, they have sent us a beautiful spectrum that is this green line. And then from November to January, Akerner passed from a B phase profile to a B profile. This is H alpha. And this is 2013 evolution of the disk and how it evolved. Here we have talked about this. This is a non-variability from Vinicius on Akerner. We are carrying after the we continue our campaign to see the polarization of Akerner. So in 2012 there is no signal or no known signal. In 2013 it started to increase, and March it reached the maximum polarization level, and then now in July it is decreasing. So probably now the disks are being dissipated. So we can see the polarization. There are multiple timescales of variability. Here are variability within days, when the color itself can change also, and variability in hours. So Karsiov studied it on Akerner in 2007 in the last activity phase. So can be related to the rotation of the star and some other disk inside the activity inside the disk changes. And we also are carrying VLTI observations with AMBER. As John was telling you, with the line profile, we can map the photosender changes. So we can angularly see differences on the disk. Okay, and now I have to hurry for only 5 minutes more. So the modeling. There are good news and a bad news. The good news is that we have a good model for the photosphere. So the bad news is that we lose a lot of free parameters to fit. So yeah, to fit the disk becomes much harder. But so I hope to show you some results. So for the first time, we have the opportunity to start to study the disk around a very well constrained star. And solve the radiative transfer John was talking about just now. So we are basing our modeling on the VDD, and we think we have good reasons to have a prescription of the surface density as function of time, knowing this viscous diffusion on the disk. So. If you want to know the mass loss rate, or at least the mass injection rate, in theory, in principle, we could measure the radial velocity, but it's so small that the mass loss rate or the mass injection, it's coupled with the alpha parameter, the viscous parameter. So I think I can skip the details. We already discussed that. So, and now here on left we have the polarization measurements I'm just showing you. In red, the epoch in March, the maximum linear polarization level. In the blue, in the last December. And just after I've done the plot and making the presentation, I realized I mistook the red line. So it's not the line of March, it's the line of the photospheric phase. So, but this reminds me to tell you that we just fitted, we have fitted the interferometric data for Achernar. And then we built this synthetic H-alpha line profile based on that model, and we can see it's very, very good agreement. So this, at least for Achernar, the two strong hypotheses of the Hirsch geometry and the rotation rate are not so bad assumptions, since we can fit this line profile. And what's interesting here that we can fit the line H-alpha line profile on March with a sigma of 2.5 or bigger. So this is a steep disk density. So as John just having shown you, based on the dynamical models of OBOA, this is consistent with a growing disk. And if you try to fit the polarization, and this is the prediction of the line profile for the March, it fits much better with a less steep density profile. And we also have an estimation if we assume some alpha and some external radials for the steady model, if this can be approximated for the steady state regime, we have already a preliminary value of the mass loss rate of Achernar. So the idea is to do the opposite of here, is to measure m dot and alpha in the growing up phase of the disk, not on the dissipating phase. So I don't have to show many videos, but finishing it. So this is a rare opportunity to evaluate the process of evolution B disk. So this importance I can skip. So we want to measure this. And maybe we hope with AMBER data on PhotoCenter to understand better what is happening in the photosphere disk interface and using this Bucci technique model. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Just a quick question to you both, experts in Achernar. So there was a period of time when it was this class, and I saw in your talk that you had some spectra. Did you you check on binarity on any changes to the relative velocity of the absorption lines?
It is a binary. The binary was discovered interferometrically, I believe, and also by Armando.
Yeah.
And actually looking very close at the, it's pretty eccentric, very close at all the spectra, you see some signal in the order of 10-ish kilometers per second or something.
In the
Yeah, it's 8 years, roughly.
Is your observation compatible with the inside-out dissipation? I mean, from the spectral line profile, you know, H alpha. If you are, dissipating the leak from the inside out, you are dissipating first the wing of the H alpha line, and then the center of the line, since the rotation is increasing at the square root of the radius, so is it compatible with
the observations
or not?
Well, yeah, I cannot just enter in the dissipation phase, so we don't have any model for this phase yet. So we are only we're still modeling the growing up phase.
Okay.
But we try to follow this VDD prescription of how it will evolve.
Is that we don't have any physical mechanisms, proper physical mechanisms for line drawing. So you shouldn't trust, and you should be somewhat suspicious of the detailed shape of the wings as we're dropping down into the container.
In some of the easterns, like New Centauri, they're monstrous, and it takes a while for the two peaks in the alpha to equalize. Is that possibly a way to measure alpha in the horizontal direction as a health check on the other measurements?
Yeah, this is something I should be already done, is to check for VNR oscillations in Achernar. So maybe we hope if there are some variations, they should be related with the rotation. But I don't know if you understood correctly.
Rapid variation, it takes a couple of days.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe.
Okay. Any other questions?